So are you thinking, I got to get out of this? You loved your family, though, and it was family, but were you thinking beyond that?
Well, I started to about that time. I really did. I didn't have any knowledge of any sort of academic scholarships, didn't even think about it, although I made the state and national honor societies in high school and did well, particularly in my junior and senior years. And I was offered a small partial athletic scholarship at Southeastern, but I always first wanted to go to Oklahoma State University and then to the University of Oklahoma, which was closer. So I just elected to try to do that on my own nickel because we had no funds. Worked for the highway department. Frank Fodge, a division engineer out there, gave us a job. And I think I was able to save $240 during the summer. Hitchhiked to Norman and got two jobs and enrolled with a total of $240 as the funding of my endeavors.
You graduated from high school in 1948, but we should mention there was a young lady by the name of Wilma Kaufman who was in your class.
She sits out there today as my receptionist, top sergeant, and manager, and has been a wonderful, close friend of mine and has worked for me as my administrative assistant for the last 26 years, I think it is.
Now Wilma House.
Now Wilma House. She married another friend of ours from Anders.
You wanted to attend OU. Wasn't that because you liked their football program?
Yeah, I started out being an OSU fan primarily because of Bob Fenimore and the wonderful success they were having during the war years. Then by the time I got out of high school, Tatum and Wilkinson had moved into University of Oklahoma, and they were enjoying much success. And as I say, it was a little closer to home, so I switched loyalties and enrolled at OU.
While in OU, you worked in college. Also, you joined the Navy then.
Naval ROTC. I didn't know about that until after I got up there. But they had a program where if you could compete and win a scholarship, you'd get books, tuition, and $50 per month, which was pretty huge for me. So I took the competition and got that scholarship. I was still working at the Kappa Alpha House, earning my meals and so forth. So I was having a better lifestyle than I'd ever had in my life, living in a house with indoor plumbing. I was having the best time of my life.
Somewhere there, a tornado affected your life.
While I was in high school, we had the terrible tornado the day FDR died that killed 83 different people in that small town of a little over 2,000 people. And that was a terrific. It just was unbelievably bad.
It leveled Antlers.
Just leveled it completely. Yeah. And my wife's home was blown down, and she escaped injury almost. She stepped on a nail crawling out of the debris. Several of my friends and relatives of my friends were killed. It was a devastating storm.
That was in 1945.
That was 1945, the same day President Roosevelt died. And the tornado didn't get quite as much publicity because it was the day that the president died, but it was a devastating bad thing. And then when I was a freshman at OU, a tornado killed my father. We were living out on the county line, 5 miles south of Antlers. It was a bad tornado, but it was mostly in the rural area, and I believe he was the only one killed, but it blew our house, little old shotgun house, out in the highway, and a heavy, what we called an ice box. It was not a refrigerator because we didn't have electricity. But it blew that thing on him and killed him and injured my mother. That was a devastating thing, too. We had to go home and make arrangements to bury my dad and had to borrow the money to do that, of course.
There's a name that comes up here, Fred LaRue.
Fred LaRue was a fraternity brother of mine from Jackson, Mississippi. He loaned us the automobile. I didn't even have a driver's license. And a friend from Hugo, Bob Farkson, agreed to drive me down there when we found out late at night that my dad had been killed. And another inebriated friend of mine came back from a party and went with us driving to Antlers, and it was a terrible rainstorm time of night. And he had to wade the creeks and everything to be sure we could get through the road, which sobered him up rather quickly, as you might imagine. But we got down there, and then they came on back, and I stayed to bury my father. But the same Fred LaRue later was involved in the Watergate scandal. He was assistant to the president, President Nixon at the time, served with John Mitchell to arrange for the payment of the Cubans and so forth, and lived in Jackson, had a very successful oil career after that. I never did get acquainted with him, except he did come to one Grand National quail hunt. We got to hunt together, but that was long ago. He was a good man, despite getting caught up in a bad situation. What he did is the National Committee raised a lot of money to pay those people who broke in and to make their bail and all that. And he was the one that literally delivered the money to get that done. And he later pled guilty to a felony and served some time. I never did see him or talk to him about it after that happened, but it was a long time ago.
In your sophomore year, there are other names. You roomed with a gentleman by the name of Robert Short.
Robert Short was one of the cleverest, funniest people. I have a book that he wrote and sold 10 million copies in the first printing.
They just handed me the book, The Gospel According to
Peanuts. Robert Short and Bob Berry Sr., who just retired as the announcer of the OU football and basketball games, formed a comedy team patterned after young Dr. Kildare. They were kind of the sensation of the OU school as a comedy team. And then he went into the ministry and wrote this book called The Gospel According to Peanuts. He and Charles Schulz later became good friends. And as I say, that thing sold 10 million copies in the first printing, and then they've reprinted it again not so very long ago. Unfortunately, he's dead now, but he led a very interesting life.
Here he signed it to you, and then he finishes off by writing Boomer Sooner.
Yeah. You meet some strange and wacky people in college, don't you?
Yep. It was an exciting time to be at OU because Bud Wilkinson wins the national championship in 1950.
And he did.
And did you attend the game?
We attended the games and then went on down. Mann and I joined two of our friends and went to the Sugar Bowl game down in New Orleans. That was my first bowl game that I had ever attended. Wonderful experience. Had a lot of fun.
Did you ever get close to Bud Wilkinson around him? Can you describe him, his personality at all?
We were never really close, except I became a good friend of his. And when I taught back at OU in the law school, this was later, went back to the law school to teach, I became even better acquainted with him. As a matter of fact, through his and Eddie Crowder's efforts, they admitted me as an honorary member of the O Club. I have an honorary membership in the O Club, and I'm very proud of that. He also asked me if I would head up his campaign when he ran for the Senate, and I declined because, although I supported him, I had strong Democratic inclinations and didn't want to do that. Unfortunately for him, he didn't win, but it wasn't because I wasn't his county representative.
His personality, what was he like to be around?
Well, of course, he's very brilliant, educated, and very, very pleasant man. But I got the impression that he would have a difficult time saying no. And I got that impression somewhat from visiting with him and with his friends who dealt with him regularly. Dr. Cross, who I became very close to, George Lynn Cross, who was president of the university, later confirmed that he had some difficulty really looking you in the eye and telling you things that you didn't want to hear. It just was very difficult for him. For all outward appearances, he's just an outstanding man.
Mm-hmm. Great athlete out of the University of Minnesota.
Minnesota, All-American. He had a wonderful family and, of course, later was divorced from his wife and remarried. One of his sons lives here now. Jay lives in Oklahoma City. And his other son, Pat, is a doctor. I believe he's gone back to Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken.
A guest in your fraternity was a guy by the name of George Nye.
George Nye was a guest and a good friend of several of my fraternity guests. Nick Harris was his closest friend, and so George visited us frequently, stayed at the house, you know, on weekends. He was a teacher and a legislator at the time, so we became good friends when I was in undergraduate school.